Today I'm speaking about partnered with the Spirit. Partnered with the Spirit. And this is part three of a series that I started on dreams and visions in 2021. Today, partnered with the Spirit. But we saw in part one that dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit, that fourth dimensional reality, that creative spirit realm where the Holy Spirit at creation hovered over the deep, over the dark, over the chaos. And he brought light and he brought order. And then we saw at Pentecost how the Holy Spirit was poured out and God in Christ Jesus through the Spirit made men and women, made people's spirits alive and brought that fourth dimensional reality into the spirits, into the hearts of people and gave us the language of the Spirit that the prophet Joel had prophesied. He said young men will dream visions and old men will have dreams. Visions and dreams, the language of the Spirit. And dreams and visions are the ability to creatively see past our limitations, past the three-dimensional world that we live in, our senses, and to see a different reality. Dreams and visions, that ability to creatively see that beyond our natural limitations into the unlimited realm of Christ Jesus. And so we see those visions and dreams as according to the life and the victory of Christ Jesus. But then we saw that one of the key instruments of visions and dreams is our imagination. And we saw how our imagination is a powerful tool. It can be used for good or for evil. Anything that God created good, of course, the enemy wants to pervert for evil. But the imagination is a powerful instrument of visions and dreams, possessing the power to transform our lives and to bring about a new reality. Again, it's the language of the Spirit of God who at creation brought order out of chaos. And in 2021, God is, he's restoring visions, he's restoring dreams, he's refreshing, he's reinvigorating, he's expanding. And I believe he's expanding each of us. He's expanding your vision, your dream for your life. And he works within our imagination. Today, we're talking about partnered with the Spirit. How do we partner with the Spirit in visions and dreams and in our imagination? We're going to look at the story of a young man named Elihu. Elihu was a young man, a key figure in the life of another man in the scriptures named Job. And Job was an interesting character. Job's life started off very blessed. In Job chapter 1, let's read it. It says in verse 10, and by the way, we're picking up a conversation of Satan coming to God, in fact, and having a conversation. So Satan says to God, "Have you, God, not made a fence around Job and his house and all that he has on every side? God, you've blessed the works of his hands and his possessions and have increased him in the land, but stretch out your hand and touch all that he has and he'll curse you." So Satan says, "God, you've blessed Job. Now I want you to curse him, take it all away, see if he still loves you." Well, God responds back. I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time, but God responds back and says, "No, I don't curse people. I bless. I'm a blesser." And yet then he says to Satan, "Satan, but you're the evil one. You're free to try your best." And so, make a long story short, Satan goes out and he does all kinds of damage in Job's life, in his business, in his family, in his health. I mean, he just wreaks a whole lot of havoc. And of course, we see in that God blesses. He doesn't curse. And there's an evil one, the enemy, who tries to work all kinds of damage in our lives. Now, that's the beginning of Job's life. He's blessed. Now, if we go to the very end in Job 42. Let's read it. The Lord restored. So again, Satan came and stole a bunch of stuff from Job. But then at the very end, we see in Job 42, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased double all that Job had, in fact. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And Job died an old man full of days. And so we see Job starting off blessed. In the middle, he encounters some trouble, some turbulence, not brought by God, but brought by the evil one. But then we see God restoring it, double everything that he lost. So, I mean, Job's life, it's kind of a celebratory life in that sense. And yet there's some chapters in between Job 1 and Job 42 where he suffered loss. And in there, we see a process. And that's where our message today, partnered with the Spirit, comes in. We see a process. Job has some friends, three friends particularly. They're kind of symbolic of friends maybe or influences in our lives today that come to us when we have trouble. But these three friends, they said things like, God brought this on you. God can't be trusted. Maybe God is angry with you. Job, maybe you deserve this and brought this on yourself. All of this kind of talk. But then in the middle of all of that, and that's where we get to this man Elihu, and we're going to focus on him today. This young man named Elihu stands up, and you're going to love what he says. I love what he says. Let's start to read. What he says in Job chapter 32 and verse 5. It says, "But when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men," remember the three men saying, "Job, you deserved it. Job, maybe God brought this on you," etc., etc. "When he saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, Elihu's," it says, "his anger burned." I like that. Remember Pastor Peter on New Year's Eve? He talked about the holy anger of the Lord. And there are times there's a bad kind of anger, but there's a kind of anger that rises up when injustice, when things are being said. And we see here that the anger burned in Elihu. He said, "This is garbage that you're telling Job. Job has encountered trouble, and you're telling him all this garbage, that God brought it on him, that he deserved it." So his anger burned. "So Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, spoke out, and he said, 'I am young in years, and you are old. Therefore, I was shy, and I was afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak, and increased years should teach wisdom. But as I see it, there is a spirit in men.'" Notice I made spirit bold and capital. We're going to come back to that, but notice the word spirit. "And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. So I say, listen to me. I too will tell you what I think. Indeed, I waited for your words, and I listened to your reasonings." Notice I made that bold and in caps. We're going to come back to that word, reasonings. But he says, "I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. For I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me." Again, we're coming back to that word spirit. That's why I made it bold in caps. But notice how it was the spirit within him that was compelling him to speak. Let's just, for sake of time, go to Job 33:14. Elihu is still speaking, and he says, "For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive." Again, notice that word perceive. We're going to come back to it. Let's just go forward. Elihu just keeps speaking and speaking. Job 36, it says, he says, "God is mighty, but he does not despise anyone. He is mighty in both power and understanding." Again, we'll come back to that word understanding. "He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. He opens their ears to instructions and commands that they return from injustice. And if they hear and serve him, they will end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy." Thank God for Elihu. And in Elihu, we see how the spirit within him, the spirit of God, partnered with him to restore Job's fortunes and to bring him back. And in there, we see three lessons for us today, being partnered with the spirit. Spirit led in number one, in our reasonings, number two, in our perceptions, and number three, in our understandings. Number one, partnered with the spirit in our reasonings. Reasonings speak of our logic, natural logic. Now, there is a natural logic, but as we'll see, there's also a supernatural logic. But reasonings speak of logic. It's how we collect information. And when we encounter trouble, our natural logic will start to tell us things like Job's friend said. To Job, when he encountered trouble, those three friends, they said, "You know, God's angry with you, or maybe you deserved it." And back and forth they went. "God's angry with you. God can't be trusted, or maybe you deserved it." And when we encounter trouble, often those are the two ways we go. Our logic tells us when we think of God, you deserved it, or he's not for you. And in Job's case, it was both. But then Elihu stood up and said, "No, no, we all face trouble." And I think we recognize that in life. Trouble comes to us all. Trouble's like turbulence. Have you ever been on an airplane? Most of us have been, probably multiple times. And if you've been on an airplane enough times, you have encountered turbulence. It just happens. I remember once I was flying from Khartoum, Sudan to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. The flight took off at 1 a.m. in the morning. So it was a dark night. And I was a Boeing 737, big airplane. And I remember, you know, it was middle of the night, so I went to sleep. Now I was traveling with a coworker, and suddenly he woke me up. Remember, this is the middle of the night. It's pitch dark. I wanted to sleep, but he wakes me up. And when I wake up, I'm very groggy. Remember, it's 1 a.m., 2 a.m. now in the morning, I think it was that by that time. As I open my eyes, I see everyone's food trays. I don't know why they're serving food at 2 a.m. in the morning, but they were. Everyone's food trays were under their seats, and everyone was curled over in that fetal position, and my friend said, "We're going to do a crash landing." Remember, this is a Boeing 737, and we're flying over the South Sudan desert. There is nowhere to land a Boeing 737 in the desert. And so in the pitch black, remember, no lights. So I don't know where we're at in relation to, you know, elevation and such. All I know is that we're in a crash land. We're going to crash land. Well, I can tell you my life flashed before my eyes. I repented of every sin that I could think of. And I'm just joking. But I literally thought, because again, I cannot see the elevation of the plane. We're going to crash land in a desert. I fully expected that any moment we'd burst into a ball of flame. It's the closest experience I have had to death personally, and I can tell you I don't want to relive it. Now, make a fast forward to right now. Obviously, I'm still standing, so we survived, and I'm not going to tell you how we survived, but we did. But to make a long story short, if I had have known in advance that we would not crash, I would have probably just kept on sleeping, right? Or maybe even enjoyed it. You know, some people pay a lot of money to go to an amusement park and to ride a roller coaster and to experience the thrills of that kind of thing. Not so much myself, but I don't enjoy that. But some people pay a lot of money. And so if I had have known from the beginning that we wouldn't be crashing, but it would be just a temporary kind of a thrill, I would have just kept on sleeping. I would have rested and I would have enjoyed. And if we take a bird's eye view of Job's life, we can kind of have the same attitude. I mean, Job started blessed. He encountered some turbulence and then he was doubly blessed in the end. I mean, it's pretty good, right? And so we tell Job, oh, Job, don't worry about it. But watch this. What if we could have the same attitude about the turbulence that we encounter in our lives? Again, turbulence, not a sign that God's angry or that we deserve it necessarily, although sometimes we do, but that's not why necessarily it happens in a sense. It's not God judging. But this is where spirit-led reasonings come in. And spirit-led reasonings are using our imagination. Remember, it's the language of the Spirit. Language of visions and dreams is our, one of the main tools is our imagination. Using our imagination to see our final destination in the victory of Christ. In other words, using our imagination, when I encounter turbulence in my business, my family, my health, I begin to see the victory of Christ in my imagination, in my senses. I may not have any reason to see it, but based on the circumstances, but in my imagination, I begin to meditate, I begin to see, I begin to visualize the victory of Christ in that area. And these are spirit-led reasonings. Remember I said there's a power in our imagination. There may be no natural reason to see it. There may be no natural reason today to see healing in your body, but spirit-led reasonings begin to lock in on the victory of Christ, his body becoming sickness so that yours could become whole, and seeing it in your imagination, yourself healthy and whole in Christ. There's a famous preacher. His name, one of the greatest mission statements of our statesmen of our era. His name is Wayne Myers. He said, "Only those who see the invisible can do the impossible." Only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. And listen, the kingdom of God needs people, you and I, believers in Christ, who are willing to see the invisible to do the impossible. I love this past year, in 2020. You know, Pastor Peter was limited in what he could do in overseas gospel campaigns, but that didn't stop him. He used his imagination to see himself continuing in this ministry. And that's you and I. It's every partner, every person seeing ourselves. But he saw continuing to reach people. And so in his imagination, he had a new idea of doing these online campaigns. We're in the middle of the Urdu campaign. He'll probably have an update of numbers coming up very shortly. He's going to be with us to partake in the Holy Communion. But reaching millions of people, even in the middle of a pandemic and a lockdown, we must, each of us, operate in this invisible realm using our imagination. The kingdom of God needs individuals. You see, that's the power of spirit-led reasoning. It changes how we respond because I see, you know, the turbulence is not permanent. The turbulence is not my end. I see in my imagination the end through the victory of Christ Jesus. Oh, it's beautiful. Number two, spirit-led perceptions. Spirit-led perceptions, or partnering with the Spirit in our perceptions. Our perception is a collection of information collected by our senses into logical mental patterns that we can understand and relate to our lives, a collection of information. Now, in the natural, our perceptions can be very tricky. They can deceive us at times, many times, because what we see is more than what we see with our natural eye. Three people can look at the same thing and see three different things. For example, three people can look at the sky. One is an artist, the artist sees a painting. The other is a poet, the poet sees a poem. The other is a weather person, and the weather person sees what changing weather patterns. Same sky, three different perspectives. Two people can look at a big, steep hill. One person gets excited, exercise. The other person gets depressed. I don't want to drag my body up that big hill. Different, same hill, different perspectives. You know, perspective is based very much on our previous experiences. Our previous experiences greatly influence what we see and our perceptions, and it opens us up to blind spots. It makes it very difficult to learn anything new because we relate any new information through the same lens and filter of past experiences. That's what our perception does. It's like a filter. If you have a filter on your furnace and it's dirty, the air that is continually blowing out will smell dirty. Not that the air is dirty, but the filter makes it so. Our perception is like a filter. And so if you've been burned in life, it's possible to filter all future relationships, business or marriage, through the same filter of being burned in the past. And instead of trusting people in the future, not all people are bad. There are bad people, but not all people are bad. But it's possible to be unable to trust and to enter into fulfilling relationships because we perceive individuals through the same filter from past experiences. And so we have to be aware of this. That's where we partner with the Spirit. Because again, we all experience turbulence in life. And it's possible to go through turbulence and even after the turbulence, continue to filter future experiences through that same filter. I know, for example, I shared the story about my airplane experience and the turbulence and almost crashing. It was several years before I could ever land in an airplane again without shaking. You could ask Megan, I would grip that seat because I filtered it through my past experiences. Spirit-led perceptions. What is a spirit-led perception? Spirit-led perceptions are using our imaginations to relate to life through the filter of Christ's victory. I'll say that one more time. Look at it. It's on screen. Using our imaginations to relate to life through the filter of Christ's victory. Christ's victory means I live the abundant life. Christ's victory means an overcoming life. Christ's victory means a prosperous life. And so even when in my senses, in my three-dimensional world, I don't see it. Using our perceptions connected to the life of Christ, I begin to relate to life differently. I begin to relate to life through the victory of Christ. Our perception defines our experiences in life. And we can use our perception to experience it differently. We can even use our perception to re-experience past experiences, to transform and to heal. Maybe you've been hurt in the past. It could be by a person, could be by yourself, could be by circumstances. You've been hurt in the past. Psychologists will say, you know, go back and analyze, dig into it. And I'm not saying that's entirely wrong, but I've come to understand there is nothing new in our pasts. You know, our pasts are our pasts. They're not going to change. We can't relive them per se. There's nothing new to be found. And an over-analysis and an over-focus on the past experience can hinder us from moving forward in life. I love what one Presbyterian pastor said, Dr. Abraham Cho of Redeemed Presbyterian Church. He said, what wounded people need is an engagement with the imagination. Remember, we're talking visions and dreams, and then a key instrument of visions and dreams is our imagination. He said, what wounded people need is an engagement in their imagination that enables them to experience Christ's love precisely in the place of their pain. Isn't that beautiful? Christ's love comes and transforms our past experiences. It doesn't change it. It happened. It'll never go away. But he can transform the perception that we have of it by bringing healing through the love of Christ. What a powerful tool that we have been given. And in Christ Jesus, we have a new spirit and we can accept these new perceptions through the Spirit of Christ. And I believe even as these sermons that we're talking in this series of visions and dreams, God's restoring, he's refreshing, and he's expanding our visions and our dreams and our imaginations, re-giving us a new filter, the filter of Christ, his victory, his abundant life, through which we relate to life. Third way we partner with the Spirit is in our understanding. Partnered with the Spirit in our understanding. Our understanding is our thought process that we use to respond to life. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is his boundless greatness of power to us who believe? He says, I pray that your understanding, the thought process we use to respond, would be centered in the hope of his calling. Paul said in Colossians that the mystery of the gospel is the hope of Christ, is the hope of Christ. And in him we have hope. Hope is a powerful weapon. Hope is a powerful, powerful weapon. They've done experiments on rats. They put rats in a dark room in a tub of water, and they found that after 3 minutes, the rats would stop swimming and they drowned. But then they did a separate experiment. They put the rats in with a ray of light. They swam for 3 days. No light, 3 minutes. Light, 3 days. That's the power of hope. It's a powerful weapon. You know, for 100 years, people tried to run the 4-minute mile. 100 years, no one could do it. Scientists, experts, remember Elihu, he said, you know, I kept quiet, I was young, I didn't think I know, I thought the experts knew it all. But he said, you know, I said, they didn't understand. You know, experts said the 4-minute mile could not be run in, the mile could not be run in 4 minutes. They said the skeletal system of a human being cannot do it. And then a man did it, Roger Bannister in 1945, and within 2 years, 127 people did it. You see, the mind, the hope. People didn't think they could do it. Elephants, they say, if you tie them up as a young elephant to a stake, you know, even when they're 10,000 kilograms as a big elephant, they'll stay stuck to that 18-inch stake. You know, how does that relate to our lives? Sometimes in life we have mental stakes. There are things that keep us limited. Maybe you went to a job interview and you were turned down, and so you think, well, I'll never go any higher than where I am now. I'm just going to hold back. Or, you know, could it be in a marriage? Maybe it was a failed marriage, or maybe it's a marriage you're in right now. It'll never change based on my past experiences. But these are mental stakes. And the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to give us a new understanding of hope. Things can be different. Things can change in our circumstances. Maybe it's health. Oh, I prayed to be healed and nothing changed. Well, that doesn't mean that Christ can't heal you. Christ is your healer and there's healing available today. It's possible that there are mental stakes. And so when we partner with the Spirit, he comes and gives us a new understanding and the hope of God in Christ Jesus, that there is victory, that there is an abundant life. A spirit-led understanding is this, using our imagination to see hope of Christ's victory in every situation. Spirit-led understandings. Using our imagination. You might in the natural not see any hope or have any reason to have hope, but using our imagination to see hope of Christ's victory in every situation. That's sometimes we have to allow our understanding to be renewed, but it's to be captivated by the victory of God in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, have a disciplined mind. You know, we got to discipline our minds, discipline our imaginations. Our imaginations are always at work. Paul said, discipline it. Why? Because we have to recognize our thoughts and our imaginations will naturally always go to the negative. I know this personally, and I know it talking to enough people. Our imaginations will naturally go. In fact, today, before you watch this, your imagination was working in some direction. Our imaginations are always at work. And left unchecked, they'll go to the negative. For example, maybe you got a bad business report in 2020. You know, your imagination might start to play out pictures of collectors coming, bankruptcy coming, your family destitute and in poverty. You know, imaginations go wild, right? But spirit-led imaginations, allowing the hope of Christ, new pictures begin to bubble up. Pictures of, you know, God blessing your hands, giving you creative ideas how to come out of the trouble and how to succeed. And it might take some time and some ideas, but recognize this, hope in our imagination releases creativity. When our imaginations are gripped by the hope of God in Christ Jesus, it releases creativity and strength to solve whatever problem, whatever challenge that we face in life. Final illustration, then I'm going to throw it to Pastor Peter, but you know, there was a challenge it started in the 30s, the war broke out, it was completed in the 60s, but there was, in Finland, in Helsinki, there was a plot of land in the center of the city, as I've read, wasn't alive in the 60s, and they wanted to build a church for the state church. Now, that plot of land was a big rock, And yet they wanted to do it right in the center of the city. And so they sent out a challenge for ideas how to build that church. Well, there was two young men, and they came up with an idea how they would build the church. They wouldn't remove the rock. That would be very expensive. They build the church right inside the rock. You know, they did that today. That's one of the major tourist attractions in the city. This church, I think there's a picture of it on the screen, right in the middle of a rock. That's a creative idea. Listen, God needs you and I, believers in Christ Jesus, to have creative ideas so we can expand the kingdom of God. Creative ideas in your family, in your business, for your health, and in every area, to use our imaginations, connected to the hope of Christ, the victory of Christ, the abundance of Christ, allowing pictures of Christ's victory to play out. You know, 2020, throughout this pandemic, it's possible that in the turbulence, pictures of, you know, fear and anxiety begin to clog the filter of our understanding, the filter of our reasonings and our perceptions. We cannot allow what we've been through to change the filter through which we see our lives. No, we need to see our lives through the victory of God in Christ Jesus. In 2021, God is restoring visions and dreams through Spirit-led imaginations in our reasonings, using our imagination to see our final outcome so we can rest in the turbulence, using our perceptions, using our imagination to relate to life through the filter of Christ's victory. Jesus loved reshaping past experiences, reshaping our understanding, using our imagination to see hope in Christ Jesus in every situation, releasing creativity, releasing strength. Listen, in a moment, we're going to partake in the Holy Communion. Get ready to receive from the Lord. Pastor Peter is going to lead us in the participation of that. We're going to see a special report of what God's doing in the church and ministry. And don't forget, 2:30 today, we have our drive-in. But first, let me say this. You know, it's possible to miss out on God's best in life because of wrong perceptions of who He is. In the scriptures, when Jesus was in His earthly ministry, there was a group of people called the Pharisees, and they saw all of Jesus' miracles. They saw His teaching. They heard, but they never saw. They never saw that He was the Son of God. They saw Him, but they never saw. It was kind of like when two people go into an art museum. One's an art expert. The other doesn't know much about art. They go, both two people go look at a Picasso. The art expert could spend all day examining the beauty and the intricacies of that painting, but the person doesn't know much about art. They might look at it and say, it looks nice, maybe, and then just keep on walking. You know, it's possible to miss out on God, miss out on His love for us because of wrong perceptions. And maybe you're tuned in today and your perception of God was fault-finding or judgmental, or maybe you're not good enough or don't deserve it. Remember the story I told about Job at the beginning? Maybe that's your perceptions of God, and as a result, it's caused you to not experience Him. The scripture says that God wants to be known. That's why He sent His Son Jesus, so that we can relate to Him with a new perception, a new understanding of who He is. Jesus, who came in love, gave up His life on the cross, took up our sins upon ourselves, so that today we can know we are unconditionally loved and forgiven by God. And the scripture says we can receive that gift freely by His grace, by simply believing on Him, confessing Him with our mouths, and declaring He is Lord over our lives. And it'd be my privilege and honor right now, in this final moment that I'm with you before Pastor Peter comes, to pray with you, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, to receive this free gift of salvation, to know that your sins are fully forgiven. Take another look at Him in Christ Jesus.